It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Against the band, or in this case, the Woo Man. All right, Jan Brewer, governor of Arizona, IA, run for re-election. Last night was her like reanointment thing. There was all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes. There's, you know, they they know. Okay, they know. Let me tell you what was going on. Well, I'm gonna let Drew tell you. Drew Phillips, he's one of our videographers here, and he and Shelton 4409 are responsible for a whole bunch of goodies that's going on. You know, there's another thing. They're doing a documentary that Shelton just finished, and I'm like, wow. We'll talk about that. It's always Arizona. We're gonna be the center of the universe. I tell you that it involves the third rail. Israel! So you know that they're coming out. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And so Shelton's working on a project for that, and I go, man, you sure you want to push this button? Okay, so they're button pushing. Well, one of the other things that's going on has always been camera fraud. Camera fraud has been of great interest to Shelton and Drew and all these guys, just following the process. It's like Lauren Canario. I mean, once you start to see that it's all just facade, it's all a game, all right, fine, you guys want to play? You want to get people to think certain things. You want them to have a certain opinion. You want them to be in a certain mindset. You're going to use the process to con everybody. Well, okay, we understand how it works. We'll take the other side. We'll be your huckleberry. So here comes Drew, and yesterday there was an event. They had contacted you and Shelton. There's somebody's wanting to pay you guys to come down. Yeah, because they know you're coming anyway. So we're going to, come on down. We got some money for you. You know, kind of. So tell us about how your day started off with that.
Oh, yeah, last night about 6 o'clock, the event starts at 6, and it's at a yuppie bar in Scottsdale, and Jan Brewer was scheduled to come on at 7 o'clock, speak for 15 minutes, and walk out the door. And so I was told it was only gonna be 15 minutes long, and then they said, oh well, she'll mingle with everyone. I said, yeah, right. So she came in. I mean, you want the story? I showed up 6, Shelton showed up. They gave us press passes, you know, little things, and they were pulling us into the hallway.
Did it just say press pass, or was it Freedom's Phoenix press pass?
No, it said Politics on the Rocks press, you know. Okay. And so it was strange. Well, anyway, the story's not that interesting, but yeah, you know, you text the guy and he says, how much do you want to do the video? And you say how much, and he texts you back and he says, oh, I'm sorry, we already got somebody, you know, at the last minute, so thank you. But and he did it to Shelton too. But the point is, they pulled us into the back hallway where Jan was going to be. So they enticed us to come down there because they figured we're coming anyway. And then they give us credentials, and then they drag us into the hallway, and they want us back there. And I think they wanted us to get thrown out in front of the other camera that was there. But anyway, we were sitting in the back hall.
Heck, you guys pay extra for that, don't you?
We're supposed to charge extra. Jan comes in the back door, and they rush her into what I assume was the kitchen. It was a back door area that they were, you know, staging area. One of her staffers gets up on stage to give her the introduction. They go through the whole routine, and then she comes back out to the hallway. We're close enough to maybe talk to her, and Shelton's, of course, yelling things like, you know, bailout lover and all that. But, you know, Proposition 100 that just passed, which was her baby, was, you know, he was calling her to bail out. So he was kind of being disruptive. I was trying to be cool and just stand up against the wall. And she goes out, gives her speech. It was about 15 minutes. And so the funny story is that I'm standing there maybe 10 feet away from her filming. I can hear Shelton off to my left shoulder, what he's saying. And then I hear him again, and he's a little further back, and he's a little further back.
So they're ushering him out.
And then eventually I couldn't hear him anymore, so he went out the front door. And then so I filmed her 15 minutes of fame. She didn't say anything interesting to me. So she just kind of had a stump speech, and she had, it was a very electric room. She it was her base. A lot of these people were they're all wearing their Jan Brewer swag. There were a number of other candidates and politicians there, and big Republican Party players. So I filmed the speech. That's when she came back into the hallway. She got rushed into the bathroom, and you could see her. It was so hot in there because it was so packed. She was sweating, and when she came off that stage and didn't look so Jan Brewer pretty. So she runs into the bathroom. And
there's a Jan Brewer pretty?
Well, okay. We'll save that for later. Channel 12 was there. I shouldn't even say the numbers. Excuse me. They wanted the interview before she went on stage because they had a deadline to make. Well, they blew them off till the end. So when she came back out of the bathroom, they got three questions in on her, and I was standing right next to the videographer from Channel 12 and got that interview. And then as soon as he said, "Thank you, Mrs. Brewer," I looked her right in the eye and I said, "Well, you know," and I tried to ask her about the time length in which the cameras are going to remain on the freeway. We were talking about that yesterday, how they have 120 days to take down the cameras. This is her program that she signed with DPS and Redflex, so I wanted to ask her about that. And, you know, I was looking her right in the eye. I was face-to-face with her, maybe a foot between our faces.
And she knows who you are, because you punked her several times on YouTube and her saying whatever.
My hair's growing out, and I look like Opie Taylor again. That's right. So,
yeah, whatever.
She said, "I can't hear you," is what she said. And then I could feel her bodyguard, who I knew was standing behind me right where the back door was. I could feel his arm on my waist, and he just pushed me up against the wall. And her entourage went right by me out the back door and into a car on screeching tires, and they were out of there. She was in the building for no more than 25 and a half minutes.
Okay. Let me give you the color commentary behind the scenes of what's really going on here. There was enormous pressure from the populace here in Arizona against these cameras. This was a Janet Napolitano baby, Homeland Security, continuous video surveillance. They are tracking. It's called Person of Interest. You go buy one of these cameras, it records your license plate, when and where you were, and if you go retroactively, I want to know where this guy was 3 months ago, pull up any car registered and he has associated with, license number, where, what, how, and got off what exit and then got him, okay? A lot of people don't know that. This is video surveillance. This is not just photo radar. That's just, you know, gravy. Okay, that's just extra money. That's the enticement they get for whatever jurisdiction get the revenue sharing. Oh, and it's an Australian company. That's another little, you know, tidbit. There's enough pressure that they feel it's in their best interest not to renew the contract that came up. Jim Brewer gets all kinds of political woo-hoo. We are not renewing the contract that expired, what, just a day or two ago, right?
Yesterday at midnight.
Okay, yesterday at midnight, you have the contract expires. Now, there is a timeline that triggers. Now, all this is pre-thought. I mean, they do this years ago. These are not rookies. They've done this, you know, in other jurisdictions, other countries even. I mean, this is, they got this down, okay? You have the expiration of the contract, but also in the contract, it says how long they have to take the cameras down. So they're going to have to take the cameras down by when?
November 15th. But they've already stated, and it's been in the news, in the reporting that's going on over the last few days, that they're going to leave them up specifically to do a study of what how many speeders there are on the freeway, and they want to study.
So they're still rolling.
So they're admitting that they're still monitoring traffic.
So they're monitoring traffic. They're keeping track of your license plates. Still, they're still going to be doing their Homeland Security thing. They're still going to be able to have records. Look, see, the speeds went up to blah, 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 blah. And they take the signs down that said, you know, photo radar ahead or something. All of a sudden, there's no signs. All of a sudden, they're going to go without a warning. They're going to see the camera hit the brakes. They're probably going to have an increase in rear enders.
I saw it this morning on my way in here.
So this is, it's all, and how do they know this? Because they did it before and before. And
well, what's
before.
The difference between when they had when the cameras were operating, why couldn't they do a survey then? Now they're doing a survey now, but the difference between the two data sets would be that the survey now doesn't involve signage and warnings for people to react, you know, who
they
would
did.
React differently.
On the 101 North Scottsdale, North Phoenix up there, they had them up for, I don't know, at least a couple of months before they started actually doing tickets. They already had that data.
Right, and when they say that they're doing data collection now, well, they've been collecting data for 2 years. And right, and like you said, in the pilot program before that. So it's the point is the cameras didn't come down. And they have at least 121 days.
Okay, yeah, but I'll tell you what the point is. This is what I'm leading up to. the date for them to come down is less than 2 weeks after the November election. They guarantee you it was going to be after the November election, because I'll tell you what's going to happen. That gives them the opportunity of at least a couple of weeks for them to do a special session day law we passed and did in different jurisdictions, we're going to whatever, and they renew the contract. They never have to bring them down, and it's after the election. All the people that helped them with their little keep the peasants from uprising too much are still in office. I mean, that's where this is going. And last night, a bunch of the Republicans dropped out. Who got what? One of them is the incumbent state treasurer. What deal did he get? You know, he's not just getting out of this thing without getting some for him. You know, there is so much stuff. This is how it is in your state also. I guarantee it. We're just showing you by example. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show. Oh. Your smile speaks books to me. Wake up with each and every one of your looks. And you're starting something deep inside of me. And you're sparking something this far from me. I'm out of control. I want to rush headlong into this ecstasy. If I could only reach you,
make you smile. If I can only reach you. You know, the best way to do that is by making you smile. We're having a little bit of good time down here. And we are able to share our perspective with you, you know, which is, you know, I don't know how many conspiracies can we conjure up. You know, and we'll give you another one. We'll give you another one. There's a good one. There's a good one. Camera fraud was building up to having early June or July. It was July 3rd, whatever it was, early July, end of June, that they had the deadline to turn in the signatures they have to put on the ballot. There would be no cameras put up for anything. Amen. All right. Well, this initiative, they've been doing all volunteer. Well, they needed 100 and, I don't know, 50, 60, 70,000 or something. It was a lot. They were 30,000 short. And they wouldn't keep track. They wouldn't release anything. They kept everybody in the dark. I don't know. They probably needed to get over a couple hundred thousand. But they're like, yeah, we're not telling anybody. Because, you know, for all you know, the guys, they gave them, a ranch house on Kauai or something. And he handed 40,000 over to them so they'd be short. I mean, you know, would they do that? I don't know. I mean, you don't know anything. You know, so when you're dealing with this kind of stuff, what they do, I know these guys probably not. I mean, they probably wouldn't do it. They were, you know, it's volunteer. Never in Arizona has there been a totally volunteer initiative ever make it on the ballot. And I go, you know, what you really need to be is raising money and just have professionals go out there and just do it. You know, it's a First Amendment thing. Yeah, it's easier than me spending. It's hot. Here, I'll give you $100. Go, you know, rock on. So they wanted to do it volunteer. They did a lot of volunteer. They did get a lot. I mean, that's a big database. And, you know, they wanted to turn it in. They go, we got a list, okay? Well, then those that have it, you know, what if they're Republican politicos kind of, I want to run for whatever. I got me a nice little database, people that support me because I was, you know, part of, you know, taking down the cameras. Then you got legislators that kind of, nope.
The cameras didn't come down.
Oh, see, I know. Now, what happened was The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, it was a big secret that they had come probably 2-3 weeks before the deadline. And they had done all kinds of different filming and so on. They had like big paper mache sombreros that they're putting over the cameras and, you know, deport me, you know. So it's kind of, you know, the surveillance state and this immigration thing, police state SB 1070, those are kind of coming together. There was all kinds of interesting aspects of this that The Daily Show saw they could, you know, they could punk somebody. They're going to have some fun. So what do? They talk to the people with camera fraud here, and they're coming down. They're going to do up a really big shoot. Well, they were hoping, that, of course, that they would put it out before the deadline to get more press, to get more attention. Well, The Daily Show is like, yeah, we don't know for sure if you got the signature. We'll wait until after the deadline, and then we'll decide whether we're going to do a big show on it or how we portray people and so on. They're waiting. They got all the footage. They could cut it any way they wanted, which they did, you know, to, you know, kind of serve their interest on SB 1070. So Drew's going to tell us the real history of how this all came about and worked out and what really came out, because it's behind the scenes that you have the interesting stories so that you can understand in the future how to deal with these people. There's many of us here that's been through this so many times. We already know. You know, you're going to get whatever. But fortunately, they have people taking video of the people taking video of people taking video. So what really happens, you always got anyway. So that's, you know, kind of what's starting to come out now. So, Drew, tell us, who got contacted by The Daily Show, and how did that, you know, eventually play out?
Well, those that I'm referring to are smart enough to have not involved me in The Daily Show incident for this very reason. So I actually don't know anything. But The Daily Show contacted Camera Fraud or Arizona Citizens Against Photo Radar, and they said, we really like your pranks. We really like what, you know, the publicity stunts. We want to come film you do one of your stunts.
Yeah, because like Shelton had just done the Easter
Tar
Bunny.
Tar and Feathered, Santa Claus. There's more.
I mean, yeah, no, it was on O'Reilly Factor. I mean, it went Fox News. It went national. It went viral on the internet.
And they reported you were actually the Easter Bunny.
Did they?
I think so.
All right. I lost a lot of weight.
Apparently.
I'd been a Santa Claus Easter Bunny. All right, go ahead.
So they were interested in that. And what the... So, again, I don't know. This is all just from my rumination. And these stories were shared at the Camera Fraud meetings and were shared on the internet and on their message board and such. So it's just my perception of it. But they... After they contacted Camera Fraud and they came, they only sent, you know, they sent down their producer and whatnot, and the reporter, I forget her name, we'll have to get that link in there, because what ended up happening is they interviewed Camera Fraud on the street as they, as you described, put a sombrero and a sign on it that said "Deport Me," and the cop came along and tried to take it down. And there's a little bit of video up that on the internet now, you should, for the archive.
From you guys, Ed Dunn.
From one of the Camera Fraud volunteers.
Right, okay.
So the video that The Daily Show filmed of that incident has still never seen the light of day on Comedy Central. But they did air a story of an interview they did with a representative who is just so terrible. It's not even funny. So I was really happy to see this hit piece, if you could call it that, about 1070. Carl Steele, I think is his name. Steele? Yes, Steele. And he was interviewed inside his office there by the Daily Show people, and she messed him up. She got him in there thinking that he was there to talk about Camera Fraud. And she started in the intro that he never saw that was edited in after was, how terrible is this SB 1070? We now go to Carl Steele, who co-authored the bill. Carl, what is wrong with this bill? And he said, you know, well, it's unconstitutional and we need to get rid of these cameras. So he was confused from the beginning. And you got to just put the thing in there or play it in a minute because it's hysterical. And so they did this interview. They did the interview with Camera Fraud, or they did the stunt out on the street where Peoria police came by and took down this sombrero. And it never saw the light of day. And like you were saying, it was supposed to air, or possibly could have aired, right before the whole signature gathering debacle came in.
Okay, so if you go to camerafraud.com, okay, and you scroll down, you'll see the police there knocking the sombrero, this paper mache sombrero that's on top of the camera and saying, you know, deport me and so on. So they could see, you know, the fun that we're having in this thing. But so when they did it, it's a new brunette reporter that they have come and join the team, and she's a looker, man. And I was going, ooh, I'll watch him a little more for that. So she came in and she asked, she's going, okay, so who are our camera fraud people? Who are the legislators we need to talk to? Well, there's a couple of them that have, you know, kept their nose clean on this. I vote against it every time because gosh darn it, that gets me votes, and I'm one of those vote against it guys, all right? So that was it Steele?
Steele.
Steele. So Steele is one of these guys, but he's also just big on immigration thing. You know, we don't want to surveil us, we just want to surveil them. You know, papers please is okay, cameras not. I mean, there's no consistency with these guys. So when they got in, I mean, you would think that these people know. I mean, the Daily Show is going to, you ought to know they're going to punk you no matter what anyway. So you just either got to play along, take advantage of it, or just let it happen. Now, fortunately, our resident communist, Kyrsten Sinema, you know, she knew better. She knew they were going, she just, man, and I just sit there and say nothing. You know, I talk to her about it, and she's just, and we're friends. You know, we get along fine, but she's definitely left. I mean, I just, you know, we understand each other. And she came over from the Green Party, you know, to be a Democratic legislator, so they'll tell you where she's at. So what happened was she was on, and she fared okay because she just played along and didn't, you know, she knew they were going to get, she was going to get punked. Well, this steel guy, he was just, he had no clue what was going on. And they made a big deal out of pointing out the inconsistency that he had on one issue and not the other being immigration. So that's what their whole point was. My thing is, had they gotten enough signatures, had they gotten it on the ballot, I'll bet you that show would have been totally portrayed differently. That's just my opinion. So when we come back here on Declare Your Independence, yeah, you know, Drew will have some more thoughts, and we'll tell you about the future of the surveillance cameras, because that's what they are. They're surveillance cameras. You know, they came here with, you know, former Governor Janet Napolitano is now head of Homeland Security, and I just, you don't think they're just going to come down, do you? I don't know how. We'll find out.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
We can't have fun, then you're doing it wrong. I mean, if you're not having fun, you're just plain doing it wrong. So you got to keep the fun in it, or just get out the steak knife at the table and just start, you know, slitting your wrist. You saw it on yourself. Oh, the pain, the sorrow. But, you know, if you can at least make use of the instances, the activism, the opportunities to enlighten, educate, inform others, well, heck, that was all worth it. Well, you lost anyway. I go, yeah, we did, didn't we? Did we? But did you learn something? Did you learn something? Oh, you win. It's all cumulative knowledge. You know, this is accumulation of instances. It gets to a point. It's just like turning up the heat on the frog really fast. He's like, whoa, 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 heck, man. You know, that, you know, it's like Bugs Bunny cartoon. You know, the cannibals get him or whatever, and he sticks his toe in. You know, ooh, that's too hot. We need to make it hot. People go, no, that's too hot. Don't want to play. So that's what we do. Well, you know, there's all kinds of things going on. You know, one of the things that's going on, is it this weekend or next weekend? You know, up in Salt Lake City. When is it?
Two weekends.
Two weekends from now.
2 weeks.
All right. Well,
last weekend of the month.
All right. Last weekend. Not this weekend. The following weekend.
Correct.
Probably. What was the date? I don't know. Anyway, it's end of the month. Last weekend of the month.
Bad with dates. Sorry. It's the 29th through the 1st of August.
And what do they call this thing that you're going to?
The AxiomConference.com, the Axiom Truth Tellers Conference of 2010.
So are we going to be able to get locked into the show, live report, Comrex, that kind of interview, Uber guys from? We're going live to Drew Phillips for an update on, and you're going to be there, right?
No, hopefully Nick's going to be the DJ. I'm just going to plug the cord in. But yeah, we're going to go and have fun. And yeah, on that Friday, we have two shows here at the studio, so we can do lives, and there's some interesting speakers that'll be on during the show, so we can actually bring the feed from who's speaking on the afternoon show if you want to hear what's going on stage, and it'll be a lot of fun, so we can get all these different guests, Mark Stevens, Gary Franchi, Luke Radowski. Man, the list goes on and on, and you took this computer monitor and don't let me use it, so I can't tell you who's all going. But
well, so I can see my lovely voice bouncing on the screen.
You need another computer in here, man.
I got. Are you kidding me? I'm surrounded by 50
and the board. And the board op gets nothing. Thanks.
All right, fine. You could have been in the studio, so I don't want to hear it. So the thing that you're doing is you're going there to what? I mean, it's a We Are Change.
Yeah.
Kind of conference, right?
Yeah, it's being hosted by We Are Change Utah, and the concept that they've come up with is not only do they want to educate people to a lot of the problems that, you know, you talk about on the show and these different speakers, the problems they bring, but they also want to talk about the solutions, and a lot of these speakers are very solution-oriented. For example, Richard Mack and his campaign to get some decent county sheriff leadership out there in the country. So there are people like that who have solutions. Mark Stevens, who you've had on the show, is absolutely solutions-based and can tell you how to get out of your parking ticket, things like that. So we're going to go. And, yeah, and like you said, it's kind of a more of a We Are Change Truth Tellers thing. And I think the reason that at least I jumped onto the idea of going up there is I want to help promote, you know, libertarianism and some of the political activism that we've been involved in here in Phoenix. And so we'll have a booth in the back. And hopefully we'll have the coolest booth there with the radio station and with the Comrex box and doing lives and remotes and stuff and try to bring a dynamic broadcast and have plenty of free material as we are, you know, is our motto here at Freedom's Phoenix, load up the table with whatever information we like to share and just go out and talk to people. And it's always fun to get together with, you know, other activists from all around the country and from the West Coast.
Well, how many other are there? I mean, there's We Are Change chapters sort of started with Luke Rodowski in New York City. And then, of course, he kind of hooked up with Alex Jones in one way or another, you know, and then it kind of expanded from there. You got a strong one in Salt Lake City. That's one reason why they're having it there. And then, of course, you guys here aren't slackers, you know. So
sometimes
there's
200 chapters worldwide.
Really?
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a lot of different, you got to kind of get into it and, you know, go to the main site, wearechange.org, for a lot of information. But there's a lot of different user communities and, you know, on Facebook, they all go crazy and there's a lot happening there. And there's, you know, kind of a back channel chat, voice chat type program that a lot of We Are Change members from around the world are using. And you can go on there at certain times and you'll find people speaking French and you have no idea what they're saying, but you know that they're, you know, just in this general concept of, you know, being, as Gandhi said, being the change you want to see in the world, which is at least the motto and the moniker that I take from the idea of the We Are Change
okay,
kind
so
of activism model.
It is the end of the month. It's July 30th, 31st, and August 1st. So it's like a couple, two and a half weeks.
2.5 weeks, yeah.
Okay, so
sense.
it's a ways off. I thought it was a little bit sooner than that. So I'm going to put it on here for that Friday. I got it right here. I'm putting it in. Axiom. All right, so there.
You
now
coming?
It's taken. Heck, no, you won't let me.
No, we want you to come.
You liar.
All right.
And you banned me already. Are you
kidding? We need somebody to push the buttons in the studio
I'll take care of it. I'll play, you know, button guy, and you guys can do it all from there for all I care. So we'll hook you guys up, make sure you guys got it. Okay, I got you blocked off here. We'll do the whole show. We'll be, you know, kind of all kinds of having fun. All right, well, the thing is that, you know, what is the purpose of We Are Change? I know it started out more of a 9/11 thing than anything else. Has it grown from that, or is it still the same thing?
I think it has, and that's something that I've always wanted, because I felt at a certain point, along with the activism that I've done involved with the 9/11 movement, I felt like I'd hit a ceiling, and I wanted to expand into other things and participate in activism in general. Certainly with the Ron Paul campaign came around, I devoted my activism solely to that, and even knew better to kind of keep 9/11 on the back, you know, not use it as, you know, it wasn't one of Paul's issues, let's just put it that way. So, I really, this immigration thing's interesting to me, the border checkpoints, there's a lot of other stuff. So at least for myself, and I think a lot of other activists, especially the ones that are trying to do journalism, and I do a terrible job at it, but that's always what I've been drawn to, is this citizens-based journalism thing.
No, I think you do a great job. You just have a high standard. And, you know, the one thing that is, I think, of interest is a lot of these issues, they have the same people behind them. They overlap. It's the same principle of tyrannical, we rule you kind of. So no matter how far off you get into whatever it is, you know, it's immigration. It's national databases. It's fence building. It's camera fraud.
And that
it's
was, and that
it's
was
all the, kind of overlaps.
That was what was so disappointing about last night. It's like, you know, you were saying the conspiratorial talk about them offering, you know, Shelton and I some money to come down and film it or whatever. I saw it before it happened. I knew I didn't want to go. And as I was sitting in the bar next door having a cup of coffee at, you know, 6 o'clock at night, because I was already kind of drained, you know, being out in the sun yesterday, I didn't even want to go to this event because I knew exactly what was going to happen. And it was just this ceremonial hooray for Jan Brewer. And it disgusted me of politics. You see it for so long and you just want to run and stop participating with it, because you know, it's just the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, you know, that's what Lauren Canario has taught us. What I've always known, you know, I'm always on your guys' butt. I'm like, come on, man, seriously? Do you think this is going to be? So it's been where we have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I knew better. But I still did it. It's like, I don't know.
Well, you know, I like going to these things knowing that, you know, like Keith McKinney. okay, our friend Keith McKinney. He is, it's always
Keith
about...
Liberty. Shh.
Yeah, whatever. Now, it is, Keith is always about, you know, well, they brought a bunch of people, hundreds, thousands of people. Well, they probably mostly have cars, right? They need DVDs on their windshield. That's what they need a flyer. They need something on the chair. They need, and because, you know, he's an unassuming kind of, he knows how to play the Republican part and dress up and look right. And he goes in, he has some friends and infiltrators inside the machine that will help make sure that he gets access, the back door, kind of whatever. And every seat gets some flyer or something. Every car gets a DVD. Every car gets some kind of piece of material, a card, a website, a sign gets held up. It gets unrolled from being around your waistband, you pull it out, boom, in the back of the room, and you walk up and you do as they escort you out, and you're not bothering anybody. Kind of, I mean, this is what he does. These are the activities where we take advantage of this stuff. So they had their big searchlight tea party there. We had over 100 signs. Did you see anything in Fox News about it? Of course not. But our YouTube was plastered with what it was obvious that everybody saw. We passed over 7,000 DVDs out at that event. You think we had an impact? Deep. Deep. What deep, deep. You know, so I'm like, you know, this is how you take advantage of these things. So I already know what it's going to be before I even go. That's how you can take advantage of it. So I, you know, take advantage of them, man. I mean, you know, let, you know, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Because what happened last night was the final, we, you know, did the polling, got the press involved, everybody, you know, National and Fox News beating the war drum kind of thing, doing whatever, is that they didn't talk about anything substantive except immigration. Jan Brewer got the camera fraud thing off of the table. That is not to be discussed. You know, they did. We already got rid of that. Of course, they're still up surveilling, and they will have immediately after the election an opportunity to reconstitute some kind of camera thing, keep them on the freeways. That's what's going to happen. So what was accomplished? Well, Drew was there. When we come back, we'll talk about what was accomplished last night and what's the next leg of this race. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube, what do I see? A whole lot of people dying, don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all their time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy too fat. Get over it.
Hancock each and every day on the Liberty and News Radio. Well, we're, you know, oh, and the phone's ringing. I can't, I'll talk to you later, Adam. Bye. You know, one thing I want to do is make sure that we kind of explain to everybody what last night meant. You know, here we're in the election cycle. Arizona's one of the last primaries in the nation. Now, it used to be in mid-September. They moved it up a couple of weeks. It's right at the end of August. And so we're, you know, they still got this thing dragging out forever. Well, now, last night, we had some very prominent people have dropped out against Jan Brewer. So I guess she's the fait accompli.
Well, they dropped a few days ago, but it was a snowball into, you know, last night. Dean Martin and Buzz Mills are two main Republican competitors.
Well, within the last week or so. I mean, Right. Last night was the coronation.
And both of them stated the obvious that, well, Jan Brewer has hijacked this election and turned it into immigration. And Dean Martin, on the other hand, his whole thing as former treasurer was his big issue was, of course, the state budget. That also is not being talked about. And Jan said last night, oh, well, you know, when I inherited this, it was such a different, you know, we were in a different place. We were in such a mess as if we're not still.
No, it's worse.
And they didn't sell the Capitol, and we are still broke.
So Dean Martin is – I'll tell you what the threat was there. Dean Martin is – one, he's got a name, Dean Martin. That doesn't hurt. So you have Dean Martin. He's a state treasurer. He was a legislator. I think he used to be a city councilman in Scottsdale or something. And he always ran on this libertarian thing, you know, conservative, fiscally conservative, libertarian, libertarian, libertarian. Here in Arizona, I don't know how it is in your state, but you can't sling a dead cat without hitting somebody telling you how libertarian they are. That's why we run libertarian cans against them going, maybe not. okay, just for comparison. Well, what happens is, because it means something here, for two decades we've been really hammering on, you know, the definition of it. It's just like everybody's saying how, oh, yeah, I agree with Dr. Paul on whatever it is, and then, you know, everything else they don't. So what happened is Dean Martin, eventually after being a legislator and so on, was elected as state treasurer of Arizona. Well, it was obvious what was going on. And they promised the sun, the wind, the sun, the moon. If you would do, because there's certain things as state treasurer, you have to sign off on, you know, different investments, where money goes, how it's allocated, you know, the pension. You know, there's all kinds of different things that's why you're there. I'll give you an example. Running for Secretary of State, I've ran twice, and they say, well, you're a heartbeat away from governor. If you were governor, what would you do? Or what is it that you're going to do as Secretary of State? Well, those are the only two real questions that really mean anything. I go, all right, as governor, it's real simple. You know, a piece of legislation comes across my desk. I just need to know, does it violate the life, liberty, and property of a single individual? Veto, you're free, I'm going golfing. I mean, it's not that hard. Then I go, yeah, what's the purpose of government? To not violate individual rights. Does this legislation violate individual rights? It gets a veto. Next. Okay, well, they don't want to talk about that. All right. So after you do that a few times, they don't bring that up anymore. What's the other thing you do as Secretary of State? Secretary of State has to certify the election. There's a piece of paper that goes before you. I hereby be inserted. You know, the person that's supposed to sign on this piece of paper here on the dotted line certify that this election was valid and accurate and all that kind of stuff. And I said, we don't have manual validation. We don't have manual counting. We don't have manual checking of the computer. Guess who's not signing? Okay. So you want to know what I'm going to do as Secretary of State? I'm not signing. So that was the only thing, two things. Oh, that's it. What was the deal for the state treasurer? The state treasurer is not to go into debt. It's not to do a whole bunch of stuff. When we were, he was faced with signing a piece of paper, whether he would buy into them doing this, this debt spending. We have, we're going to, you know, funky around with the books and do this kind of deficit and this and off into the next fiscal year and check kiting kind of whatever. He signed off on it. That was part of the deal of whatever it was that he was doing. And he runs for a governor. Why? You already had a governor that was willing to do that. You know, what made you any different? The fact that he played ball, there had to be something else. But during this time, something tragic happened to him. His wife died in childbirth, and then the child died. Devastating. A life-changing event. So does that get him sympathy vote? It not, they know, does this come into it? How it has to mess up with your head. So this is, you know, as time has gone on, there's all these dynamics that play into the decision whether you're going to run or not. And do you offer him something? He had, you know, a lot of things that potentially could have been going for him, but he just kind of, they, you know, all this buildup was to get him to this point. Because I remember he was all being pushed by a lot of people I know in the Republican Liberty Caucus, which is supposed to be kind of this libertarian branch of the Republican Party thing. Dean Martin, Dean Martin, Dean Martin, Dean Martin. For years, a decade, I mean, Dean Martin, Dean Martin, Dean Martin. I talked to him once or twice. Okay, I get it. He's one of them. I don't need to talk to him anymore. I get it. You know, I understand. He's going to do whatever he's going to do to benefit whatever he wanted to do. So I just, you know, fine. You guys do whatever you want. I'm not getting sullied on this thing. So I could see where this was going to go. Well, now he's state treasurer. Had an opportunity to really stand up, and he didn't. So he would get support from whom? For what? Well, this week we had another gentleman, Buzz. He's a self-made guy. He spent, like, I think, $3 million of his own money just even getting started on this thing. Wanted to talk about the economy, wanted to talk about the debt, wanted to talk about jobs, wanted to talk about, you know, the future, blah, blah, blah. No. No, heck no. It's all about immigration. This was the mantra. And the machine behind this, I know why people think it's really about immigration. It's not. It's not. It never was. It is about national ID. It is about getting us all in the pen. It's about giving them the data. It's about giving, you know, papers. It's about having checkpoints on the highways. It's about, this is all start. We could see this. The vast majority of the Hispanics that were here illegal had already left because there was no jobs. You know, I tell you what, would you take a vibrant economy and illegal immigrants, or would you rather have no illegal immigrants and a depression? Well, a lot of people, they vote depression. They go, I don't care. I just don't want them damn immigrants here. Damn Mexicans. Speaking Mexican and all. You be careful what you ask for. That's what you're going to get. So here we have Dean Martin. He drops. Buzz Mills. Is that his name?
Correct.
And so what do you know anything about these two candidates, how they were campaigning? I don't pay attention. I mean, it's just blah, 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 blah to me.
Liar, you just described it perfectly. They were both running on the economy, the budget problems, getting back to basics, fiscal conservative stuff. That type of rhetoric was absolutely their game. And now the game is immigration, and she wins. She's Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin lives in Arizona. It's a really scary thought.
Well, this is I tell you, the economy is going to rear its ugly little head no matter what.
Well, that's what I said about last night. She didn't been, you know, she stated that when I received this office, we were in such bad shape, as if we're not in that bad shape anymore. And yeah, so I think that was the threat between Buzz Mills and Dean Martin, was that they really wanted to focus on that fiscal conservative message, which is absolutely what the conservatives of Arizona are most concerned about, or at least were before this SB 1070 thing came around.
Well, were they able to tie that in? Well, of course they do. They go, we have such a bad economy, we can't afford to spend all this welfare on illegal immigrants, but of course we can afford to do it on, you know, white people that want welfare.
And it'll go the opposite way if 1070 is enacted. And it's actually already starting to happen in Mesa, where legal residents who are Hispanic are closing up shop and leaving because they don't even want to fight it. I mean, the bill has not been enacted yet. And as Tom was reporting yesterday, they just filed the injunction and there's seven lawsuits. And, you know, the one commentator said that the most likely scenario is that they will have a temporary injunction on the bill. It won't become law at the end of the month. So that these other lawsuits can play out in court, and then they'll make their decision.
And I tell you this: if you look at the whole tapestry and how this stuff is played out, you can start to see what's going to happen. The federal government comes out with the Supreme Court. All of a sudden, they're going to grant upon us, you know, the idea that gun ownership is an individual right, and doing what we're doing, you know, the gun laws restrictions in Chicago. So you go, yay, the federal government's going to protect me, and they have, you know, used their authority over the states to say what they can and can't do. Well, you know, you got the gunnies and the conservatives and everybody going, yay, they, you know, like I confuse me like with Lauren Canario. You're like, you're confusing me with someone who gives a crap what the Supreme Court says. You know, they don't have no consistency. They're not for individual rights. They're doing whatever's in their best interest. And let me tell you what their best interest is that we can control what the states do. That, you know, even though it says Congress shall make no law, we're going to rule that that means that the states can make no law, too. So they're going to say, hey, you were happy when we gave you Second Amendment rights. What, you're not happy when we're going to impose our will on you for the right of individual de la fill in the blank? You know, this federalism kind of, you know, from the top down thing, this tyranny from a government paid guy in a black robe up there is going to have a double edged sword. They're not looking at the real promise that the Constitution was. It is what? Congress shall make no law and leave the states freaking alone. So, do you want them protecting your own good pick? Because if they take one power to do one way, they're going to claim the jurisdiction to do it another way. So, should the states be able to do? I don't care. Let all the states do whatever. It'll all work out eventually anyway when we learn how to just be free. But I can see where this is going. It's already happening. State of Arizona, our budget. We are the worst per capita in the nation. They give a lot of focus on California because it's such a large economy, the sixth in the world. But Arizona, our per capita debt in the state is worse here than California. Just ask my granddaughter at, 10 months. She'll tell you all about it. Well, we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my afternoon guest that's going to tell us about Wall Street legislation. What are they doing? I don't know. We'll see what he has to say. We'll be right back.